Groucho Marx once said, "If you heard this story before, don't stop me, because I would like to hear it again." Not only do I want to hear this again, but you need to, because you are now the keepers of many of these stories. Some of you may not know that for years we sent teachers to China to teach English in Chinese universities. While we were there, one of our universities decided to recruit some students from Kazakhstan, which sounded like a good plan to them, but they had no idea what to do with 30 to 40 Kazakhs, ages 15 to 30, when they weren't in class, which was most of the time, because they never, ever went to class. But don't worry, the school did have rules. Well, they had one rule. Everyone had to be in the dorm by 11 p.m. Now, you would think that because these were students and our teachers were faculty, that the school would have them, if not in different buildings, at least on different floors. But no. The school thought, since they were all foreigners, they should all live on the same hallway, with no barrier between them whatsoever. And that became a real issue because every night, this whole crowd of Kazakh kids went out drinking and then returned to their dorm with a heavy buzz at 11 p.m. to party the rest of the night away. And routinely, that meant until 3 or 4 in the morning. Meanwhile, our teachers were trying to sleep because they had to get up early and go teach. But it's hard to sleep when there is yelling and partying and loud music right outside your door. After several months of this, one of our teachers, a guy named Danny, finally reached his breaking point. It was 2 in the morning, and the Kazakh party was in full swing. So Danny jumped out of bed, threw on some clothes, and went out to put an end to this. He didn't have to go far because they were right outside of his door, yelling and screaming, carrying on. Danny looked for the ringleaders and went right over to them. Now, there was a problem with this because the Kazakhs didn't speak any English whatsoever. But that didn't stop Danny. He said, "Every night there is yelling. Every night there is loud music. Every night there is drinking. Every night someone gets into a fight. And every night no one in the whole building can sleep. This has to stop." Apparently, Danny said "every night" quite a few times. And it worked. For the next 2 weeks, there were no wild parties in the hallway. But something else also happened. From that moment on, every time one of the Kazakh students saw Danny, they would wave and smile to him like they were best friends and say, "Every night, every night." And just like that, Danny became known to the whole country of Kazakhstan as "Every Night." Here's what I hope River's Edge will always be known for, that we are a church committed to missions. I would love for us, for as long as we are a church, to be able to send out teams to serve people in need. I would love for us to support dynamic missions and missionaries. I would love for us always to be known as a church that prays for missions, that prays for missionaries, that prays for the world, and prays passionately for these things. I would love for us to connect with other churches in other countries so that we could pray for them and encourage them in their work. I would love for us to be well informed about all that ECO is doing in terms of global engagement. And I would love to see everyone in our church get super excited whenever the topic of missions comes up. After all, missions is written into our very DNA. A year and a half before Joe and I came back from Canada to start River's Edge, we met with our dear friends Joe and Ann. You saw Ann last night. Joe, unfortunately, couldn't be here, but they have been our friends for many, 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 many special years. And we met with them at Centennial Park. We wanted to get together to talk about maybe starting a church in this area that would truly focus on missions. And we talked, and we dreamed, and then we prayed. It was a God moment, pure, pure poetry. We followed one of Centennial's trails and just prayed all the way down it and then all the way back. And when we were done, we felt that God had walked with us. And in that moment, River's Edge was conceived. Look back on our past. Look around today. Look out into our future. None of that would have happened if it wasn't for Joe and Ann and that time of prayer at Centennial Park. None of it. We ask God to create a church that would give itself heart and soul to missions. And God answered that prayer. See, I wasn't just saying that. Missions really is written into our DNA. And you know what else is? Prayer. Prayer started this church. But that's not surprising because missions and prayer always go hand in hand. And I pray that missions and prayer will always be at the heart of this church. But that's not just something I would like. It is the calling of the church and has been the calling of the church since the very, very beginning. Think about it. Go back to the call of Abraham. God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's a lot of blessing. But that is God's strategy. God promises to bless us so that we will go out and bless others. We are blessed to be a blessing. We are called by God and then sent out into his world to call the people we encounter there. And we call the people we encounter there by being a blessing to them. Now, there are many ways to do that, but one of the most important is found in Exodus 19. Here, God addresses the people who have come to Mount Sinai after the Exodus. But he doesn't just give them laws on Mount Sinai. He also gives them a calling to reach the world. God says to them and to us, out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. How are we to bless people? We are to be priests. We are to talk to God about the people we know and talk to the people we know about God. In short, we are to pray. And then we are to share our lives and we are to live such loving lives that people will come to God because we gave them a taste of God's goodness and grace and joy. They will come to God because they will see God in us. See, how we live our lives matters deeply. This is the strategy that we find in the Psalms. Repeatedly, the Psalms recite the same refrain. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among all peoples. See, missions doesn't start in the New Testament. It is rooted in the very heart of God for his creation. But when we get to the New Testament, things start taking off. Jesus says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And he says again, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then Paul drives the point home in Romans 10, where we read, but people will never ask Christ to help them if they have not believed in him. And they will never believe in him if they have not heard about him. And they will not hear about him unless somebody tells God's message to them. And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Okay, stop right there and ask yourself this very important question. Do you have beautiful feet? If you share God's love in word and deeds with others, your podiatrist may think otherwise, but know this, you have beautiful feet. And I'm not sure I've ever said it this way, but it is absolutely true. Our calling as a church is to have beautiful feet. Wherever we go, we are to share Christ's love with the people God puts in our path and on our hearts. In fact, when you say we want to be a church like we did 24 years ago, you are pledging yourself to advance God's mission in the world. You are pledging yourselves to have beautiful feet. You know who has beautiful feet? Joe and Ann Dutra have beautiful feet. I met Ann on my first mission trip, which was to Ukraine. That trip changed my life. I had gone to give and bless others, but I came back blessed beyond my wildest dreams. I felt like a thief because I was sure I was the one who was supposed to be giving, but every day I received far more than I ever gave. Again, those 2 weeks changed my life. And I am praying for our first-timers, Adam's recent trip, Jesse, Lila's trip to El Salvador, that those trips would change their lives. And I pray that that would happen to you if you ever get the opportunity to go, that you would meet God on those trips and even after those trips and know that he has set you apart for a special mission in the world. Go out and bless people in need. That's my prayer. Now I'm going to guess that that Ukraine trip changed Anne too, because the next thing I knew, she and Joe were off to China. And that trip not only changed them, but it changed the whole world. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people have heard the good news of Jesus because Joe and Ann said yes to God and went out to bless the people that God put in their path with the good news of Jesus. And I'm not exaggerating here. Two quick examples. First, when they were in China, they encountered Chris and Feng Lan, and they led them to Christ. And Chris and Feng Lan then immigrated to Canada and started coming to our church. But they didn't want to come alone, so they invited anyone that they could meet, any Chinese person they ran into, they invited to join our fellowship. And when these Chinese people came to Christ, they told all their family and friends about Jesus. And then those family and friends went out and told other people. And soon our church in Canada was made up of 90% internationals. And 90% of that 90% were Chinese. And God's love spread throughout the whole Chinese world. How did this happen? Because Joe and Ann said yes to God's call. But wait, there's more. Not only did Joe and Ann share Jesus with Christ and Feng Lan, with Chris and Feng Lan, but they also shared the good news with a very depressed and broken guy by the name of Moore. And when Moore came to Christ, he changed dramatically. Today, he is a pastor and a teacher who is training house church pastors who, in turn, every week are reaching out to people in their circles. And these people then are coming to Christ because these pastors and because of Moore and because of Joe and Ann, who said yes to God's call and went out to this one Chinese university and loved the students there with an unconditional love. the love of God. But Joe and Ann didn't go to that university alone. They took anyone who was willing to go with them. If you were back in those days and you walked in that door, you were going to get invited to go to China with them. That was just the way it was. They even invited us to go. But when we were in Canada, we couldn't get away. But then we moved back here, and I couldn't say no anymore. But I wanted to. See, I feared that I wouldn't like the food. And I feared that the culture shock would be too great. And I feared that I would get arrested for being a pastor and thrown into pastor jail. Don't get me wrong, I love Chinese people, but I love them more when they come to me as opposed to me going way over there to them. And yet, I couldn't say no. A trip was scheduled, and I was going to go, like it or not. These are true stories, and you are the keeper of these true stories. But then, that trip was canceled. It was like, oh yes, I have a year to get to learn to love Chinese food. And then Naomi walked into our lives. Somehow Naomi had heard about Joe and Ann's trips to China, and she wanted to go for a year and teach in one of our universities. And Joe and Ann met her and fell in love with her. And then they called the university in China and made the deal. She would be a teacher there. But none of us felt good about just sending Naomi off all by herself. Somebody needed to go with her. And so Joe and Ann put together a small team, and I was on it. I would go to China. They talk about falling in love, where love sneaks up on you and bam-o, you're just in love. That's what happened to me on that trip. In less than a day, I was in love. Mostly with those incredible students, but also with Chinese food and Chinese culture and Chinese people. And also with that team, and especially Naomi. On the night before we left the campus and had to say goodbye to Naomi, I had one of the greatest moments of my ministry. We were walking down this beautiful road in the center of campus. It really is the only scenic thing on that campus. And I got to tell her how very, very, very thankful I was that she said yes to God's call. Because if it wasn't for her, I would have missed one of the greatest blessings of my life. To this day, I am so thankful for Naomi. God worked through her to do a work of grace in me. She changed my life. And that is not an exaggeration whatsoever. And Joe and Ann changed my life. But here's the really cool thing. They also changed your life. Because when Naomi said yes to God, it set us as a church on this remarkable missions adventure. See, the next year, River's Edge officially began sending two-week teams to China. The next year after that, we sponsored a summer camp for the students on our university. We took a team of 30 people, most of whom from River's Edge. And we went to our university to do this summer camp. We were hoping that 100 students would come. There were well over 400 students. We knew our church was too small to sustain this work, and so we began to recruit teachers from all over the states to go and teach for a year. We learned a lot from Naomi about how to engage with students so that they could share Jesus with them. And now we were wanted to take teachers to go. And so we started collecting teachers all over the country to come here, be trained, and then deployed to go to China. And so the second year, we sponsored a second summer camp that was even bigger than our first, but now was led by people from River's Edge and by our teachers. And over the course of that ministry, we recruited, trained, and deployed, mentored, and supported over 75 teachers. Many of those teachers are some of the best people I have ever met. Godly, loving, gracious, fun. And besides all of that, they have beautiful feet. And you can see that for yourself after, I guess, next week. I was hoping you'd get the opportunity to see that this week and go up to Kelly and ask to see her feet. Because she was one of our teachers and she was just amazing. She loved those students so well. But you just can't have teachers and hope things go well. You have to train them. And so every August, we would spend an intense week training our teachers. Thank you. Thank you for being so committed to the cause of Christ that you would allow me to take that time off so that I could have the privilege of being with those teachers. And honestly, I feel that those weeks of training our teachers may have been some of the best weeks of my ministry. But it wasn't just me. Joe, as always, was co-leading the whole thing with me, focusing on all the details so I didn't drive the thing off the track. And she taught seminars on how to teach college students. But it wasn't just us. It was all of you. Because you were right there. Our church was so behind this project. You added your support, your concern, your love for our teachers. And when our teachers came, you just enveloped them in your love. And those meals downstairs with our teachers where we would send them off the next day, those were just so wonderful times of community and support. You loved our teachers so that they could go out and love their students. What a beautiful picture. But it wasn't enough just to train our teachers once and hope that would do the trick. So every year I would go to visit them, once in October, once in January, to encourage them in their work. And then sometimes I would go back to China with a team. And that's how someone who didn't really want to go to China ended up going to China around 25 times and loving it every single time, except for the two times I got deathly sick, but they don't count. But none of it would have happened if Joe and Ann and Naomi had not said yes to God. And that is critical to remember. Oftentimes we think it is all about us, but we forget that when we say yes to God, we send out waves in all directions, and other people get caught up in those hydraulics and end up having their own encounter with God that leaves them deeply blessed. And on the other hand, when we say no to God, we send out waves that push people away from being blessed, and they miss out on what God is doing. It's never only about you. Your life touches so many others. But beautiful feet aren't just the exclusive possession of those people who went to China. Hardly. Those beautiful feet are all over this church. The Rogans took teams to the Czech Republic and did incredible ministry there. One of my biggest regrets of my being pastor here is that I never went on a trip with them. That would have been so wonderful because they did unbelievable things there. Trust me, they have beautiful feet. The Dingles went off to Japan, and then they came back, and then they went back a couple more times. They have beautiful feet. We sent teams with beautiful feet to Guatemala, to Mexico, to Jamaica, to Kenya, to the Dominican Republic, and soon to El Salvador. We supported great missionaries. We supported Dan and Summer Passarelli's church plant in London, England. What an incredible work that was. We still support the Becks and their work in Germany to immigrants and who are coming into Germany. And the Becks as they work in Israel and Palestine and Iraq and even Pakistan. We support the Blairs and the Ministry of Kupenda, which is a ministry to children with disabilities in Kenya. Now, there is a ministry with beautiful feet. And if you sponsor a child with World Vision, you also have beautiful feet, because what you are doing is beautiful. And Pat Hatch has given her life to refugees and immigrants. Ask the multitude of people she has blessed through her tireless work, and they will tell you she has beautiful feet. And we could go on and on and on, because this church has so many people with beautiful feet. Now, just because you have beautiful feet doesn't mean everything is going to go smoothly and be easy. When Joe and Ann were first in China, they encountered this couple that they knew was trouble. They would talk to them, but it was hard going. And when they encountered them, it just went nowhere. And so they were sure this couple was never, ever, ever going to come to Christ. Their hearts were just way too hard. And while this family wasn't going to come to Christ, they did decide to come to Canada, to our city. And they started coming to our church when we were there. And that's where Joe and I met Chris and Debbie and Charles. They immigrated to our city, started coming to our church, and God poured out his grace on them. One by one, they all came to Christ. First Debbie, and then a long time afterwards, Chris. But once they gave themselves to Jesus, there was no turning back. They became mini missionaries, inviting everyone they could meet to come to our church in Canada. Fun story. At one point, Debbie took a job that required her to work on Sunday mornings. So Chris and Charles would come to church, and Chris would take a program, and he would make notes in it. And then that evening, when Debbie got home, Chris would go through the entire service with Debbie. They would sing the songs together. They would pray the prayers. They would recite the creeds. And then Chris would share the sermon with her. He just couldn't imagine Debbie missing out on church. And so he just had to share everything with her and give her that church experience, just the two of them. When we left Canada to come here, I told Chris and Debbie, I go to prepare a place for you. One of the most beautiful things Riverside ever did was to hire Chris and Debbie. We hired a director of international ministries, of missions, long before we hired a church secretary, a youth pastor, or a worship leader. We hired Chris and Debbie before we hired Joe Lewis. That was the commitment of this church. We wanted missions to be first in our hearts and first in our actions. And because you said yes to God, Chris and Debbie and Charles were blessed. And then they went out and blessed all sorts of other people by sharing with them the good news that Jesus is Lord. So many people came to Christ through Chris and Debbie. Look at all the baptisms we had throughout our history. How many of them were Chinese believers who came to Christ through Chris and Debbie? That number is staggering. Absolutely amazing. Chris and Debbie said yes, but we were the ones blessed. And now we have the privilege to support them as they and Charles and Hannah lead a Chinese online church reaching Chinese people all over the world. What beautiful feet. What dear, dear friends. Here's the point. If you are willing to say yes to God's call, you just never know what is going to happen. But I can guarantee it will be amazing. And you will be bowled over by God's grace. That's where Joe and I are today. We are experiencing pure poetry. We look at all that God has done and is doing, and all we can say is, wow. God is so good and so faithful and so gracious, and it's wow all the way down, and it's gratitude all the way down. Thank you, Ann and Joe. You mean the world to us, and we can't thank you enough. Your yes gave us China and all of our friends there, including our dearest friends, Daniel and Jing. Thank you, Naomi. Your yes changed our lives. You will never know what a joy it was to have you as our first teacher and to pray for you and Brian every day of that year. What an honor, what a treat. Thank you, Chris and Debbie. Your yes sent River's Edge in the right direction. You taught us what it means to be a church that is devoted to missions. We can't thank you enough. And thank you, River's Edge. Few pastors have been blessed by their church as much as we have been blessed by you. And few pastors have had the privilege of serving a church that truly wants to make a difference in its world, that longs to take those beautiful feet and proclaim Jesus in word and deed everywhere they go. But now it's up to you to take those next steps and to give yourselves over in this new day to being a church that is committed to missions. It's all up to you to take those next steps. And may you renew that commitment every day and every night. Every night. God bless you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the glorious past that we have had. And we thank you for the wonderful things that we are doing right now. I thank you for the session that refused to cut back on missions, even though the budget didn't give us a lot of extra money. We wanted to spend above and beyond on missions, on people with beautiful feet. What a great commitment. What a beautiful session you have given us. And now, Father, I pray that you would guide us into the future, that we would have a church that truly is committed to missions and to serving missionaries and to praying for the world. That we would go out to bless people with great needs. That we would all about having beautiful feet to bless people out there. I thank you for all the people who have gone. So many people in this room have taken spectacular trips. I'm just so grateful for their testimony to us of your goodness and faithfulness. Thank you for those who are going. This summer has been a delight because we didn't think anybody was going to go, but then you showed up and we ended up sending Adam and now Jesse and Lila and Rachel headed off to El Salvador, Aaron to the Dominican. What a blessing. Continue to build up your church so that we would be a missional church committed to proclaiming your good news everywhere we go. And we give you all the praise because all of this is a gift from your hand to bless us so that we would be a blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.